You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
Our government cares about
they you. Ain't giving get up a second on. Thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto.
Me. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. Say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Today, of course, is Wednesday. Got to get over the hump. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it ain't, I know you'll get it done. Because that's the kind of brother and the kind of sister that you is. When we appreciate you for it. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives. Just go to timeforanawakening.com and to look for other podcast programs. Click on that, and there's right at the beginning is African Perspectives. Click on that, and then there will be programs that are dated and titled for you to listen to at your discretion. Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, this program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Immediately following this program on Monday and Wednesdays is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3, Monday and Wednesday. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And after that is Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 10 on Wednesdays. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 8 p.m. on Fridays. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., that's right, it ain't me, it's Sister POC and her program, Revive. And then Sunday night, it's Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. on Sunday. And Monday through Friday, right here on Time for an Awakening Media, the Warren Ballantyne Show, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m. The Warren Ballantyne Show, Monday through Friday. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. You can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. And if you're in...
This call is being recorded.
If you're in the Atlanta area at the Greenbrier Mall, just give... Just go in, stop in. They have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall, WeBuyBlack.com, and you can pick up products that are produced by us. Products that are produced by us. Laundry detergent, battery soaps, all kinds of good stuff. I was in there a few weeks ago, right before I left to go to Milwaukee, and had a lot of good stuff there. So check it out. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. My good brother, Bomani Tahemba. He is leaving for South Africa, November 22nd to December 2nd. He's going to Johannesburg and Cape Town. You can give Brother Bomani a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. And Brother Bomani will let you know what time it is, if you can still get on that trip and how much it may cost. Also, too, he has a Ghana trip in December as well. December 24th to January 4th, 2020. And that is at the end of the year. And check that out online to see if you can be a part of that trip. Going to Africa. Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, located here in the West End in Atlanta, 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard here in the West End. Our number to call is 404-549-8676, 404-549-8676. The Shrine of the Black Madonna is open Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7 and Sunday from 1 to 3. They got everything. They got furniture. They got clothing. They got artwork. They got figurines. They got, well, you know, they got books. That's right. They have books. Is it a bookstore? And if they don't have the book that you're looking for, they'll get it. They got Kwanzaa kits. They got everything that you need. They also have a African Holocaust Museum. And they also have a history class every Saturday. Every Saturday from, and it's free and open to the public, every Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30. Every Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30. The class is run by our good brother, Olatunji, Baba Olatunji. But if you can't go, but you still want the information, then you can contact the Shrine and get the Multimedia Library. Brothers and sisters, the most extensive cultural library of its kind. It has over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. Brothers and sisters, it is 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment. And you can get that from the Shrine. This Saturday at the Shrine, they're having a free jazz concert featuring Rosemary Robinson and the Cosma Music Group. Come in and browse, munch, and enjoy the sounds. It's located right behind the Shrine there, outdoors. And it's going to be a free jazz concert. And it is from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Not much time, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., but I'm quite sure it'll be a great experience. The free jazz concert this Saturday at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End at 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. Us Lifting Us, ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Check out Us Lifting Us broadcast every Thursday from 9 p.m. to around 10. The number to call is on Blog Talk. The number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. And so, Occupant Institute, I want to say this. Please, brothers and sisters, support the Occupant Institute. Make your checks or money orders out to Occupant Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. They do outstanding work. You can also make your contributions through Cash App or PayPal. The dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, then Baruti, BARUTI, and make your contributions. Went to the manhood presentation last night. Great number of good brothers, young brothers, older brothers like myself, you know, but outstanding. Baba Baruti put together some something. And I know if my good brother, Brother Ralph, is listening, we said that we must develop a code of conduct. And, you know, my brother Ralph is listening, and he always talks about that, and he's right. We must develop a code of conduct.
also too, Sister Gabby and her efforts in sanjay-haiti.org, sanjay-haiti, Sister Gabby. That is, she's doing outstanding work in the south, in the northeast part of the island of Haiti. Outstanding work. Please go online to sonje-aiti.org, sanjay-haiti.org, and check her out, and she needs to be supported. Black Talk Radio Network, the Radio Media Fund, the 2019 Radio Media Fund, and check that out. Go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. Just go on the page. You can just scroll down. You'll see the donation button. Support Black Talk Radio Network. It is the number one Black Talk Radio podcast in the country. Probably have to say in the world. It definitely needs to be supported with all the programs that we're trying to present to our people. I'm very proud to be a part of the Black Talk Radio Network. So, brothers and sisters, support that. Also, too, tomorrow, Thursday, the 12th, if you are in the Atlanta area, there's the Atlanta premiere of Mama Africa. It is a documentary dealing with the African presence here on the continent and here in this hemisphere, particularly in Venezuela. Mama Africa promotes the visibility of the rich history, joys, and potentials of the African continent, as well as the daily lives and struggles for inclusion of the cultures and ways of being an African here in Americas. It examines the impact of the Maafa. You know what the Maafa is, that's right. The Infakani, or the Holocaust of our captivity, and the process of that captivity, with the focus on how people have overcome these oppressions thanks to the political, social, and cultural resources developed by African people in the process of working for independence and decolonization. And they're going to be talking about Venezuela and all that good stuff. So please, brothers and sisters, if you are in the Atlanta area, a very good documentary, Mama Africa. And it's going to be tomorrow at the Auburn Avenue Research Library. The Auburn Avenue Research Library. And it's going to be at 7 o'clock, I apologize, it's going to be 7 o'clock. The African Diaspora, location at the Auburn Avenue Research Library, 101 Auburn, Sweet Auburn Street right here in Georgia. So check that out. My good brother, Damani Aquil, he's done outstanding work with bringing programs and stuff to our attention. Brother Amani's outstanding young man. He's been on the program a few times. I'm going to get him back on again soon. The Yenye Sesem. The Yenye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Oh, I didn't talk about the other. I skipped those, didn't I? I don't want to do that. I'm going to go back to that. The Medu Bookstore. The Medu Bookstore is located in the Greenbrier Mall. It's right next to the kiosk of We Buy Black. So you can't miss it. The Medu Bookstore phone number is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. They have books. If they don't have the book that you desire, they'll get it for you. They have books, cards, postcards, greeting cards, gifts, T-shirts, all kind of stuff at the Medu. Medu means writing. That's what the Greeks call hieroglyphs. It's called Medu Netcher. Medu means writing. Netcher means gods, the writing of the gods. So I just went on picture writing. That was serious writing. The writing of the gods, the Medu Netcher. Also, too, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. They, my good brother, Kazimde Ajamu, and they're having a Black Dot Cultural Arts Festival Saturday, September 28th. And check it out in Lithonia, right there on Main Street. And he's going to have all kinds of good stuff, jazz, music, and food, and poetry, and speakers, and all kinds of good stuff. I can't wait for it. Brother Kazimde Ajamu, the Black Arts Cultural Festival, Saturday, September 28th. In Lithonia. The Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. I'm going to read yesterday and, of course, today's revolutionary thought. September 10th. Slaves deserve slaves for children. An African proverb. Obviously, many of us have thoroughly misread the Europeans' long-range genocidal goals for us. If there were not so, we would not have allowed ourselves to be separated from our traditions and our children from us. We should have known that Europeans know that. If you can train the children of your enemy to dismiss their parents, then that people will indefinitely continue making the same self-destructive mistakes because ancestral wisdom will not be passed down. Our children's innocence and ignorance led them to see African and European irreconcilable realities as worlds of powerlessness and power, respectively. Us as powerlessness. We're powerlessness. And they blindly seek shelter in a chaotic and numbing reality of dead things and pseudo-masochistic habits that take away the pain of impotency while leading them to defensively mocking their ancestors. What we have allowed to be done to our children would be unthinkable for a sane people. Even some claiming to be African based upon how that African-centered is still seriously compromised by European imperatives might as well have raised their children as Negroes. At least that way, they wouldn't have to go through the pain of being broken into slaves once they recognize the contradictions between what their parents say and do and find the opportunity to escape them. Those who study Europeans know that these children will be running to a people who are not contradictory in their insanity. We have no business critiquing our children until we correct ourselves. Affirm, my children will never become slaves on my account. Affirm, my children will never become slaves on my account. September 11th. What insidious animal eats away at our brains and causes us to sleep when our children are being stolen away from us? Malefi Kete Asante. What they come from and have done is not normal. It has no precedence, and its roots can only be umbilically found in their cultural aceli. Physically, they are the only ones who allow in the filth and squalor, rubbing their bodies and minds in centuries of accumulated rotting, diseased waste. They are the only ones who copulated with animals and perform unspeakable perversions in the waste of germ-saturated, saliva-filled cavities of each other's bodies. It is only they who pride themselves in their fear of bathing, ablution formula of a phobia in their ablution, you know, ablution, right? You clean yourself, wash yourself. I remember going into the mosque and you got to do ablution, got to clean yourself. The fear of bathing, ablution phobia. Mentally, they are the projectors of their spiritual, mental, and physical illness, wrongly turning our eyes against our ancestors and greatly toward theirs. Sadly, only ones confused on this point are those among us who can not see Urugu beyond the guilted here and now and image these sickly creatures fabricate of their past for the rest of the world. Affirm, I clearly see Urugu beyond the guilted here and now. Affirm, I clearly see Urugu beyond the guilted here and now. The Enye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Brothers and sisters, it is September 11th, 2019. Since I've been on radio, it's been 5 years. Every September 11th, I state what I consider the truth about September 11th. I'll never forget, I was preparing to do jury duty on September 11th. I was taking a shower, and a good friend of mine, she called me up, and she says, "Oh, she, check out TV, the World Trade Center's on fire." I'm like, "Wow, really? Well, what's that about?" You know, I'm thinking maybe, you know, they, because it's so tall and there's certain floors that have restaurants and so forth, that maybe a kitchen caught on fire or something like that. I don't know. But it was burning pretty bad. I said, "Wow, that's serious." And as I'm drying off, I see the second plane go into the tower. And now I'm catatonic. I'm stunned. I'm like, "Wow, this is an attack." So I dry off and get my stuff on, and I'm going down. I got selected for jury duty, and the case was, this Caucasian didn't want to pay child support. Me and this Muslim brother, we were going to roast him. We were going to make sure he was guilty, you know. So I had to go to the headquarters of the fire department and pick up a slip so I could get paid. And so I picked up the slip. But as I was there waiting to pick up the slip, the second building that was hit was the first building to go down. And once that happened, the raw emotion of everyone, I mean, yelling and crying and screaming, knowing that the loss of life of the people in the building, as well as the 343 firefighters, of which 12 were American African, and we pay tribute to them. There's a PBS documentary called All Our Sons, paying tribute to those 12 men, because if that wasn't done, you would have never known that those 12 brothers had lost their lives on that dreadful day. Once I got the slip, I headed to the courthouse, and of course, they said all federal buildings in the United States were going to be closed. All federal buildings in the United States were going to be closed. And so I took the Muslim brother home, and I stopped by my friend's house to further look at and talk about what was happening. Some days later, as I was contemplating all these activities and all of the sorrow that was going on, and the retribution that was going to follow after that, I began to look at this a lot different. I began to look at this a lot differently because it deserved a more scrutinizing eye. And being a cynical individual that I've been, because, I mean, you know, I've been this way since the 60s. When you learn more about your history, when you learn more about them, and you understand what they, I mean, they will do any and everything they can do to maintain and sustain the privilege that they created for themselves. They will do any and everything. So, you know, the prospects of doing what has been done on 9/11, even though they did it in a terrible way. I'm not speaking of the loss of life. That's terrible. But in a way that it boggles the mind, because it is so in your face. You know, even though I titled this 9/11, Let the Truth Be Told, I think a more appropriate title would be 9/11, Who You Gonna Believe, Me or Your Lying Eyes? Because this is such an affront. It really is. It's such an affront. Now, as a firefighter, in your training as a firefighter, I'm quite sure in every major city, because in every major city, there's skyscrapers. There are buildings that are taller than 10, 15, 20, and plus stories, where, you know, ladders can only reach up to like 10, 12 stories. You know, if you're talking about a building that's 40 stories high or 60, 70, 80 stories high, you know, that's a different mode of firefighting. And the training used to be you get to lobby and you control the lobby and you control the elevators, you control the stairwells, and, you know, you make that happen, you know. But since 9/11, that's kind of changed You don't do that because of the fear. Now, understand, buildings haven't gone down. They've never gone down. Buildings have been hit by planes since 9/11. They still haven't gone down. All of the training that I remember and videos and watching, those buildings never went down. They burned for hours. Hours. Sometimes days. They've never gone down. They've never gone down, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. But yet, these buildings went down. And the irony of it, the second, because you would think that if a building was burning for some time, that the structural integrity of that building would be weakened, and therefore, because it's been burning a long time, that that building would, you know, would go down. But the second building that was hit was the first to go down. And then, here's the insult to your intelligence. And then, the second building that was hit was the first to go down, and then the first building that was hit started to go down. And then because of that, going down and spewing out ash and spewing out smoke, and really what you see was all that crumble and dust and so forth from the, you know, and it got on everything, and then supposedly some fire from various parts of the building from those two towers jumped over about, 100, 200 feet to building seven, caught that building on fire. And around 5 o'clock Eastern time, that building went down. Now that building went down, you know, sorry about that, brothers and sisters. Sorry about that. That building went down. And how that building went down, I tell you, that was deep, because that went down just like a controlled demolition, period. Period. That if you put controlled demolitions, buildings that would have gone down by the intent of imploding them, setting debt in various parts of the building to make them fall, as they say, within its own footprint. That's what Building 7 did. That's what Building 7 did. You know? And I'm like, wow. So I tell you, you know, to me. And then here's something you need to do. Follow the money. Follow the money. Because that building was owned by a European Jew who had taken out a huge insurance policy. And to me, if this was an attack that nobody knew about, that it was somehow 19 people of Middle Eastern extraction, because they were Saudis, I think United Arab Emirate and an Egyptian, you know, 19. They supposedly all went to flight school. Now, when you go to flight school, you don't learn how to fly, you know, jumbo jets. You learn how to fly twin engine Cessnas and stuff like that. You don't fly, you know, passenger jets, you know. But supposedly these individuals commandeered these planes coming out of New York, flying two of them into the World Trade Center, and then flying, flying two into the World Trade Center, flying the other one into a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And then, of course, flying the fourth one into the side of the Pentagon. Ironically, the Pentagon had a serious issue the day before on September 10th, when Donald Rumsfeld had to explain the loss of, what was it, almost $3 billion. Almost $3 billion that was missing. And, of course, the next day when that situation happened, man, they ain't thinking about that, I guess. So now you have the two planes that hit the World Trade Center, causing both of them to go down, with a history of planes hitting skyscrapers. Skyscrapers have not gone down. Then you have Building 7 going down in its own footprint in a free fall, exactly how a demolition is done. Then you have Shanksville. Now, in the Shanksville, you have guys using cell phones. You can't use a cell phone today. I couldn't call somebody. I'm 30,000 feet in the air. You take out my cell phone and call somebody here. Now, if you can do that, somebody call me and let me know that they have done that. I know I tried it. There's no reception. I tried it. Hell, the only thing I ever did on my phone up in the air is play Bid Whist. I get no internet connection or anything. Put it on airplane mode, as they say. But these guys in 2001, they even made a movie on it. Let's Roll. They talk to their people and they said, let's roll. They go bum rush the cockpit, give them cats a beat down, and the plane crashes into that field in Shanksville. Now, I often said about this situation as I started to, and it's going to be 20 years in 2 years, 20 years. And I've often said, I'll give you those. I'll give you the two planes hitting the towers and they crumble down, and the implosion of Building 7. I'll give you the Shanksville scenario. But you can never, ever make me believe that a plane, a passenger plane, was flying so fast and so low that when the nose of that plane hit the Pentagon, it disintegrated. At that scene, you don't see no wings, no fuselage, no tails, no engines. You don't even see the black box. You see a hole in the side of the Pentagon, so clean that when they took a picture of it, on the upper floor, you see a desk and a monitor on it. Just like, whoosh, cut clean. And before the parapet wall, the top of it crumbled down, it was just like a clean, straight hole. Now, the National, what is that, Safety Board or some regulatory agency, along with Popular Mechanics and some others, maybe not National Geographic, they got to hold the government line. And so they'll put out there some logic about, because a dude put some logic out there about Building 7 that made no sense. But it has to make sense to the government line, to the people of the United States. And because a lot of times the people in the United States believe whatever hell the government says. But because I'm an African, because I believe in being who I am, since the 60s, I have never and will never trust Europeans. And the fact that they will do any and everything possible. Another thing you need to look at in this situation is what has happened since then. What has happened since then? Of course, they went to war. They went into Iraq, destroyed Iraq, took oil, took money. Halliburton, which was Dick Cheney, made hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars. The war machine, the military-industrial complex was fueled with tons of money. In fact, it is the largest budgetary item in this country. And nobody, see, because of that attack, the perception was we got to fill the military up with new equipment, more money, better tanks, better armament. If you listen to this program, if you know me, I've always said Caucasians have always found a better way to kill your ass. And that's what they have done. They sacrificed over 3,000 people, over 343 firefighters. I'm not sure how many police officers. I'm quite sure if you go online, those statistical things are broke down, particularly on Facebook. People send those out each year, you know, and some of the sadness and so forth that happens, you know. So, you know. So, I've put you on mute if you want to talk. For those I put on mute, if you want to talk, hang up and call back. And you can join this conversation. Brothers and sisters, you can join this conversation. Dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. I'm telling you, you know. Yeah, I tell you, you know, it's deep. It's deep. Because I've been dealing with this since that time. It didn't take me years. You know, it didn't take me that long. It took me some months. In fact, months later, In Plain Sight came out. After that, 9/11 Truth. After that, and now, it's over 3,000 architects and engineers for Truth. Over 3,000. We have a caller 414. Caller 414-507. 414-507. Good morning.
Brother Oshie, how you doing?
Hey, Brother LaRue, what's happening?
Oh, man, hanging in there. I ain't heard from you. Well, anyway. Something told me to call you to listen to your program today. I had a little trouble searching it out, but with a little work, I found the podcast.
Well, right on. Appreciate it.
But you know what? The history of 9/11 is consistent with the history of America from the time that they came here and started to overpower the Native American.
Mm-hmm.
And history is full of, I don't say it's full of examples, but there are examples of where Europeans went in, killed other Europeans, and then tried to make it look like Native Americans did it.
Well, I put nothing past them. I my contention has always been they will do everything and anything, even sacrifice their children, their mama, to maintain their position of dominance and control and privilege. That's why, to me, when we constantly, you know, beg these Caucasians, march, sit in, boycott, whatever we do, it has no real effect. Basically, what happens, they give us some crumbs to pacify us, to keep us quiet for a minute, you know, a job here or there, put a dark face in a high place here or there, but they still are in control. And that's the deal.
Well, I would put it like this. They're making a supreme effort to control. But if they were totally in control, you wouldn't be on the air right now.
No, this is true. And you're right. You know, And they have that ability to, because see, this radio piece and the internet is controlled by them. The TuneIn, which is not ours, Black Talk Radio Network gets a part of that stream from TuneIn. But the thing is that you're free to broadcast.
Because way back in the days, man, when they were debating over slavery, they instituted this thing called the gag rule. And because of our resistance to slavery, we took up so much of their time dealing with slavery that they instituted this thing called the gag rule. And the gag rule said, we're not going to talk about slavery in the Congress because the debate over it took over every, I'm going to say, mm-hmm. it took over everything that they was trying to do. It threw a wrench in the clockwork of their government.
Well, you know, the thing was this. Our captivity, our inhumane treatment would have continued had it not been for the industrialization of the North. And that's the issue. The free labor economy of the South versus the industrialization of the North divided the country, and they wanted the Union to succeed undivided. And so that was the issue. It wasn't about us being in captivity. Because if it really was about us being in captivity, enslaved, then once it was over, they would have treated us as human beings. But as you can see, once the captivity was over physically, then you had, even though there was that little small period of reconstruction lasting about 10 years, but then you could see throughout this country how fear, intimidation, lynchings, being marginalized, ostracized, vagrancy laws to put you back in prison, you know,
firing you out. We understand that. What I was getting at was the freedom of speech.
Okay.
And because of the debate over slavery, man, had thrown such a wrench into the discussion of other things that they wanted to do, that they instituted this thing called the gag rule.
Okay.
Okay. And the gag rule, man, challenged their about freedom of speech.
Okay. Listen, LaRue, I'm not sure where you were trying to go with this because, they've had gag rules before because usually courts issue gag rules. You're not to say anything about a particular case that you're working. That order is given to attorneys. That order is given to defendants as plaintiffs.
Well, I'm talking about over slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Over slavery. And in Congress, it locked up. They couldn't talk about nothing else but slavery. They say, this is impeding our ability to move forward.
So the gag rule pull in, you can't talk about the enslavement of African people.
Yes, exactly.
So?
Exactly. Exactly. So because of that, that's why you're on the air right now to have the ability to say what you're trying to say. No, I forgot how we were trying.
I mean, no, I understand.
Okay, so we're going back to American history. And if we understand American history, then we understand how the thing that they did with 9/11 is not much different than what they did back in the day when they were dealing with the Native Americans, and they had Europeans go in there, kill up a whole bunch of other Europeans, and then throw down some evidence to say that it was the Native Americans doing it.
Sure. LaRue, I put nothing past Europeans for doing anything they feel they have to do to maintain their position. What they wanted to do was, have a tighter control on this country and to be the world policeman. Exactly. That's what they wanted to do. And so therefore, they made this look like that a dude who was in a cave somewhere in Afghanistan orchestrated this whole situation and had these folks commandeer these planes and run them into buildings and run them into the Pentagon and so forth, a serious attack on America, causing one Caucasian who was a football player who had a contract with the Arizona Cardinals to quit because he said, we've been attacked. I'm going to go kill these people. I want to go to Afghanistan. I want to go kill these people.
And what I'm saying is that what happened with 9/11 is consistent with American history from the time that they came to America.
I agree.
That's my point.
And you're right. It's consistent because once Pat Tillman understood that this was an attack, he wanted to go fight. He joins whatever he joins, the Marines, the Ranger, whatever the hell it was. He goes over there and he's killed by friendly fire. He's killed by Americans. And then they make him a hero.
Exactly.
They made him, they got a statue of him because he quit being a NFL football player to go, he made a serious sacrifice, as they would like to say.
Right.
You know, and he was killed by his own people, just like the people in 9/11, killed by their own government.
And I was listening to what you were saying, and I just wanted to throw in there that what you are saying is consistent with the way American history has is consistent with our. If we understand American history, we will find that it's consistent with how American history works.
I agree with you, Brother LaRue.
Right. Exactly.
I agree. Exactly. It's how it is. So, it's what they do. It's just like when they got into the Vietnam War, the Tonkin situation that got them into the Vietnam War. There's other wars that America, Pearl Harbor. Shit.
They knew
the attack was going to come. They knew it. And just like, listen, LaRue, there's so much in this 9/11 situation that it boggles the mind. That there's so much of it that people are more willing to not touch it. Don't even go near it. Don't look at nothing. Don't want to hear nothing. Because it's too deep. Because the first thing you say, how could this government, supposedly my government, my country, do something like this to its own people? Sacrifice all these lives. So Rumsfeld and Cheney and Bush can enact a stabilizing or establishing a police state.
And it's because that the people who are running the government want not only just black people, but white people to think a certain way.
Yes.
And right. So white people are being manipulated in a way, I guess you could say, that benefits white people. And so white people have no problem with going along with that manipulation.
No, because it benefits them. Exactly. Exactly. That's why.
Right.
That's why the majority of Caucasians, you know, even though some of them know what has been done is wrong, even though some of them know that our claims for justice and so forth are right, but yet they will go along with the status quo because it benefits them.
Exactly. So white people are not even really questioning. Why do they hate us? But they throw this idea in there and say, well, they hate us because They hate freedom.
I know. That's the first thing Bush says. They hate us because of our freedoms. They bomb us because of our freedoms. Listen, I'm going to take a break. Stay with us, LaRue, on the other side. And those listeners, and you want to call in, once again, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay right here with us.
I will.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Somebody blew up America. All thinking people oppose terrorism, both domestic and international. But one should not be used to cover the other. Somebody blew up America! They say it's some terrorist, some barbaric Arab in Afghanistan. It wasn't our American terrorists, it wasn't the Klan, or the skinheads, or the them that blows up nigger churches or reincarnates us on death row. It wasn't Trent Lott, or David Duke, or Giuliani, or Shumla, Helms retiring. It wasn't the gonorrhea in costume, the white sheet diseases that have murdered black people, terrorized reason and sanity, most of humanity, as they pleases. They say, who say, who do the saying? Who is them paying? Who tell the lies? Who in disguise? Who had the slaves? Who got the bucks out the bucks? Who got fat from plantations? Who genocided Indians, tried to waste the black nation? Who live on Wall Street, the first plantation? Who cut your nuts off? Who rape your mom? Who lynch your pa? Who got the tar? Who got the feathers? Who had the match? Who set the fires? Who killed and hired? Who say they God still be the devil? Who the biggest only? Who the most goodest? Who do Jesus resemble? Who created everything? Who the smartest? Who the greatest? Who the richest? Who say you ugly and they the good lookingest? Who define art? Who defined science? Who made the bombs? Who made the guns? Who bought the slaves? Who sold them? Who call you them names? Who say Dahmer wasn't insane? Who? Who stole Puerto Rico? Who stole the Indies, the Philippines, Manhattan, Australia, and the Hebrides? Who forced opium on the Chinese? Who owned them buildings? Who got the money? Who think you funny? Who lock you up? Who own the papers? Who own the slave ship? Who run the army? Who was the fake president? Who the ruler? Who the banker? Who the devil on the real side? Who got rich from Armenian genocide? Who the biggest terrorist? Who changed the Bible? Who kill the most people? Who do the most evil? Who don't worry about survival? Who have the colonies? Who stole the most land? Who rule the world? Who say they good but only do evil? Who the biggest executioner? Who? Who own the oil? Who want more oil? Who told you what you think that later you find out is a lie? Who? Who found Bin Laden? Maybe they Satan. Who paid the CIA? Who knew the bomb was gonna blow? Who know where the terrorists learned to fly in Florida and San Diego? Who knew why five Israelis was filming the explosion in cracking their sides at the notion. Who need fossil fuel when the sun ain't going nowhere? Who make the credit cards? Who get the biggest tax cut? Who walked out of the conference against racism? Who killed Malcolm, Kennedy, and his brother? Who killed Dr. King? Who would want such a thing? Are they linked to the murder of Lincoln? Who invaded Grenada? Who made money from apartheid? Who keep the Irish a colony? Who overthrew Chile and Nicaragua later? Who killed David Sebeko, Chris Hani? The same ones who killed Biko, Cabral, Neruda, Allende, Che Guevara, Sandino? Who killed Kabila? The ones who wasted Lumumba, Marlene, Betty Shabazz, Princess Di, Ralph Featherstone, Lil Bobby? Locked up Mandela, Daruba, Geronimo, Asada, Mumia, Garvey, Dashiell Hammett, Alfea Sutton. Who killed Huey Newton, Fred Hampton, Medgar Evers, Mikey Smith, Walter Rodney? Was it the ones who tried to poison Fidel? Who tried to keep the Vietnamese oppressed? Who put a price on Lenin's head? Who put the Jews in ovens? And who helped them do it? Who said America first and okayed the yellow stars? Ho, ho! Who killed Rosa Luxemburg? Liebknecht? Who murdered the Rosenbergs? And all the good people iced, tortured, assassinated, vanished? Who got rich from Algeria, Libya, Haiti, Iran, Iraq, Saudi, Kuwait, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Jordan, Palestine? Who cut off people's hands in the Congo? Who invented AIDS? Who put the germs in the Indians' blankets? Who thought up the Trail of Tears? Who blew up the Maine and started the Spanish-American War? Who got Sharon back in power? Who backed Batista, Hitler, Bilbo, Chiang Kai-shek? Who? Who decided affirmative action had to go? Reconstruction, the New Deal, the New Frontier, the Great Society? Who do Tom S. Clarence work for? Who do come out the colon's mouth? Who know what kind of skeezer is a Condoleezza? Who pay Connolly to be a wooden Negro? Who give genius awards to Homo Locus Subsidiary? Who overthrew Nkrumah, Bishop? Who poisoned Robeson? Who tried to put Du Bois in jail? Who framed rap Jameel Alameen? Who framed the Rosenbergs, Garvey, the Scottsboro Boys, the Hollywood Ten? Who set the Reichstag fire? Who knew the World Trade Center was going to get bombed? Who told 4,000 Israeli workers at the Twin Towers to stay home that day? Why did Sharon stay away? Who? Who? Explosion of owl, the newspapers say. Devil's face could be seen. Explosion of owl, the newspapers say the devil's face could be seen. Who? Who make money from war? Who make dough from fear and lies? Who want the world like it is? Who want the world to be ruled by imperialism and national oppression and terror, violence and hunger and poverty? Who is the ruler of hell? Who is the ruler of hell? Who is most powerful? Who you know ever seen God? But everybody's seen the devil. Like an owl exploding in your life, in your brain, in yourself. Like an owl who know the devil all night, all day, if you listen. Like an owl exploding in fire. Like an owl exploding in your life, in your brain, in yourself. Like an owl who know the devil all night, all day, if you listen. like an owl exploding in fire. We hear the questions rise in terrible flame like the whistle of a crazy dog. Like the acid vomit of the fire of hell. Who and who and who?
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to Time for an Awakening here. You're listening to African Perspectives here on Time for an Awakening Media. We're going to get right back to the phones. I'm going to choose 414-467. 414-467. Good afternoon. 414-467. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. You're on.
Hi.
Hello.
This
how
is
you
Mary
do-
calling from Milwaukee.
Hey, Mary. How are you today? Good.
Just fine. That was powerful. The who?
Yeah. That's Amira Baraka. Amira Baraka. Somebody blew up America. And
wow.
after he did it, the only thing he got in real heat about was mentioning the European Jews, the five Jews, or the European Jews who were watching the happenings on that day and cheering and so forth. And supposedly they came there knowing that it was going to happen. And then, of course, that the European Jews that stayed away on that day.
Yes.
You know. So he got
in. You know, people need to understand the difference in European Jews and the Semitic Jews.
Yeah, well.
What are Semitic Jews?
Well.
Who are they?
Yeah, the thing is this. I call them the European Jews because the people who dominate and control Judaism are the late converts to Judaism. They are the Ashkenazi Jews, the European Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the
mm-hmm.
ones who dominate, control. They are the ones who call others, when they do something, anti-Semitic. They're not Semitic people. They're not.
No.
But they're the ones who dominate, control Judaism. And they are the ones that now you see, since that time, you see how they behave in Palestine.
Yep.
You see what they do to Palestinians. You see what they do to Africans and so forth. You see how they control and dominate the diamond industry. How they control and dominate information
and sold out the people that they walked into the oven.
Yeah.
Sold out the merchants. Sold them out. You don't hear people talking about that.
Right.
Sold them out. But they didn't know they were coming for them next.
That's right. That's right.
So anyway, good talking to you. Good listening
all
again.
All right.
Did you hear anything about the 9/11 calls that went into, you know, our building up there on North and Lisbon?
Oh, at the communications building of the Milwaukee Police Department.
10 years later, they talked about it. The people that operated were told never to mention that day.
Mm-hmm.
The calls left from New York went up to that building, the communication building.
Mm, okay. No, I haven't heard anything about it.
A lot of Homeland Security money came into Wisconsin and Milwaukee.
Okay.
A lot of money.
Well, I mean, that's what happened. But see, Mary, that's what happened. You know, that's how Homeland Security got started. This whole idea, this whole situation was because that's what America, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to create that situation whereby now we can implement some real austerity measures, some real punitive security measures, not austerity, but security measures on the American people, basically stripping you of your rights.
And it's two things that they want us to remember for those that lived during that time. The day that Kennedy got killed,
yep.
I was 20-something years old.
Yeah.
We remember that.
They of course.
Want us to remember that.
Of course.
George Bush couldn't remember where he was that day, but everybody else remembered. 9/11.
Yeah.
9/11, September the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
They want us to remember that.
Sure.
That time, 9/11.
And
almost 9 months to the day, that George Bush Jr. was inaugurated 9/11.
Mm. Okay.
Because remember, it was questionable about that whole election. We were supposed to have this big demonstration in Washington or wherever, yeah, to challenge that election. And then Jesse Jackson, some crazy stuff came up about him that shut down that whole movement in March that we were supposed to go to Washington to challenge that, to challenge his election and the inauguration. So that was shut down because they came out with this so-called scandal about Jesse Jackson. So 9 months to the day of inauguration, what was September? I mean, was January the 20th or something? That this 9/11 stuff happened.
Okay. Well,
that's the World Trade Building. Here, George Bush is down in a classroom reading "Mary Had a Little Lamb." Didn't even get upset. Like, oh wow, they finally did it.
Mm. Well,
timing is everything.
Yeah.
Timing is everything.
And to me. To me, it's clear that he may not have known because he's a doofus, but it's clear to me that the inside job, the deep state, if you want to call it that as well, understood what they were doing, how they were doing, when they're going to do it, and the effects of it, because they depend upon the ignorance and the apathy of the American people to allow that to happen and to then develop this false patriotism. You know, because I remember, you know, even, I mean, when it happened, they had even, you know, folks on the block talking about waving flags, let's go get them, you know.
The other thing that's coming up is your driver's license. That star that's on the real ID.
Right.
It's a code word.
Right.
The real ID. October 1st, 2020, if you plan to go on a plane or fly somewhere.
You got to have it.
Have that real ID.
Right.
But let me tell you, Oshi, that's just the beginning of it. This is part of the Patriot Act. It comes out of the Patriot Act. And Patriot Act 2 is even more vicious than Patriot Act 1. Black folks talk about, I have a right to do this. You don't have any rights.
No, you don't.
You don't have any rights.
No.
The reason the young man said, oh, well, they're you know, not saying anything about you being on the air. You're not a threat.
No. Oh,
they don't care about that.
No, I sure ain't. But see, Mary, what they will shut down is over other social media. Now, me on this radio, on this microphone, speaking to whoever, no, I am not. But, of course, I would hope that somebody is listening and maybe somebody would do some research and maybe talk to others and so forth and so on. But the reality is, no. But on social media, many people have gone into a Facebook jail, as they call it.
That's right.
You know,
that's right. They take it to another level. There's a movement that's being, this hidden movement that's being built. But, yes, like we're on the phone now listening to you. How far will that go? But right now, you know, more and more people will take it to another level, hopefully younger people.
Yeah.
So, again, about that license, everybody is going to have it.
Yeah.
Have to have it. Everyone. Yeah. They're starting out with just the star right now.
Right.
Everyone.
And
in New York, you cannot walk around without ID. You're a vagrant.
And see, that's bogus because you're not supposed to have it. But I see that coming. I'm going to take another call.
Yes.
Okay, man, just hold on.
Thank you.
Okay, you bet. 216. Good afternoon.
That's me. Is that you, Brother Oshie?
That's me, my brother. How you doing, Brother Keith?
I'm doing all right, man.
Good.
It's good to hear you.
You too.
Hey, listen, I wasn't able to tag in until late, but I heard a few very interesting points, and it brought to mind just my perspective on this whole thing. And there are two ways to view history. One of the ways is what's happening right now. And then there's the other, longer view, which if you step back and study and look at evidence and then compile that into a logical formation of patterns and systems, that you find out what's really happening.
Okay.
This whole thing with 9/11 is connected it's connected for over 100 years almost, man. Mm-hmm. Starting with, you go back with to the Balfour Declaration.
The Balfour Declaration, when they petitioned to take Palestine from the Palestinians and give them to the European Jews. Yeah. Okay.
Can you imagine, imagine how many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have died as a result of that declaration and the actions taken as a result of that? And they're all leading up to today with number 45 being in office. This is all part of a long-term, well-thought-out plan. Now, this sounds like, you know, that sounds like a typical conspiracy theorist nonsense, but if you study, if you look back and see, you see that there's a pattern leading up to these things.
Mm-hmm.
You guys just spoke about how Jews' involvement in the media and control of information and so forth and so on, you know, impact even today.
Right.
Well, that was one of the documented beginnings was the Balfour Declaration. And a lot of people don't really understand. And I would suggest to your listening audience that they look that up and study it and try and see how that impacts today. And this was in the early 1900s.
Yeah.
When this was signed.
Right.
And it was, I believe that there are a group of people, a group of entities or whatever, that have determined they're going to make biblical prophecy come true in a way, and they work. They've been working for hundreds of years, to make this actual thing happen. What's going on today? This is not by none of this is by accident. Number 45 is not in office by accident. That was designed, and it was designed dozens and dozens of years ago, not specifically for him, but for someone like him to be able to deconstruct this American government from within.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's madness. The biblical prophecy that I think that it reflects is from Revelations 18:1 through 18:20.
Okay.
I think those are specific people, you know, you Christians who are listening, so forth and so on. They look at that and have some acceptance that the Babylon that they speak of in these passages is actually America represented by the most powerful city, the most well-known city, New York. This, all of that fits to a T.
Okay.
But I don't think when 9/11 occurred that we were given an option. You make choices based on information that you have, and they provided all of the information, and that information would lead you to the logical conclusion of establishing a police state, as you guys talked about earlier.
Exactly.
You've had dissidents and pariahs in this world, in this government, people who have spoken out and spoken the truth, and we basically ignored them. But we have become so complacent in allowing others to represent our power as a people that we just basically swallow whatever we're fed. My favorite dissidents, he showed how this thing could take place and what it was going to lead to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Noam Chomsky. That's a bad boy. Noam Chomsky is a bad dude. But anyway, that's just my little reflections on that. You guys did mention one of my favorite people, Amir Baraka, and
that's right, because you are a poet. That's right.
one of my favorite things that Amir Baraka said came in, and please don't laugh, came in a movie that he was in, that to me, even though it was meant to be a satirical spoof and so forth and so on, it was the absolute 100% truth. Everything that occurred in there was said in there. And that was Bullworth. Now, you know, everybody might laugh and like, what? Bullworth?
Uh-huh.
But And that movie was the entire truth. That had, you know, Halle Berry in it, Don Cheadle. Right. And Amira Baraka was the character in there. And this is the thing that he said that impacts me the most. And that, I think that this is what we as black people have to embrace.
Yeah, that
before we can move forward in this.
But for the audience, Bulwark, that's the one where Warren Beatty is running for public office.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, exactly. Okay, go ahead.
And he was spitting some truth that you just can't spit on TV, you know. And that's mm-hmm. he didn't have anything to lose in his mind in that story mm-hmm. because he was about to commit suicide, so to speak. But Amir Baraka appeared several times in there, and he was speaking to Bulwark, and he would say, "Hey, you can't be no ghost. You got to be a spirit. You got to be a spirit, Bulwark." And a lot of people don't understand. I don't think you have to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Where do ghosts come from?
Mm.
Ghosts come from dead things.
Mm-hmm.
Ghosts come from the dead, but a spirit can only come from the living.
I say.
And that's what black people have to do. We are ghosts of our former selves.
That's right.
Which means that we're ineffective. The only thing we can do is run around and chant and make noise because that's all ghosts do. Because they come from dead things. They have no power. But a spirit has all the power.
Because a spirit is connected. A spirit connected is a circle. It's a constant source. Circle. Exactly.
You know, and well, anyway, that's me dropping my little bit of whatever into your conversation. I love what I'm hearing from you folks.
All right. Well, continue to listen, my brother. Stay with us, okay? 267. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, brother Oshie.
Hey, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine, brother. Did you get my message that I went to the Warriorhood program last night with Baba Baruti, and we came up with we came up with we must develop a code of conduct for our community.
What have I been preaching, brother Oshie? Have I been preaching since you've been knowing me?
That's right.
Everybody has a code of ethics but us.
That's right. So we're going to be in the process of doing that. In fact, I'll get you the webpage or the email address, rather, so you can submit, some things that you would like to submit. But go ahead, brother Ralph. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was listening to you, and that was pretty deep what the brother just said about ghosts being attached to dead things mm-hmm. and the spirit is the living. You know, that sounds pretty believable. My mind is very open to things like mm-hmm. that. So that was very, I've got to look more into that and mm-hmm. find out more about that. But, you know, Brother Oshie, I heard you talking about, like, those of us who know history. And I call history his story.
Right.
You know, a point blank, his story. So you got to look at it with a skeptical mind, because everything designed by those powers that be, and I do agree with the caller before me, that there's a chosen few who's running the show. And I believe that chosen few run that World Bank, because mm-hmm. every war that we've been in was because of the World Bank.
Right.
A lot of people don't know that. Everything, taxation right. without representation, all that nonsense. It wasn't nothing to do with democracy or anything like that, because these people are not democratic.
No, they're not.
They're not. Yeah, they're not democratic. So every war, all the military is there for one thing and one thing only, and that's to protect the entrance of the IBF and the World Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason why they invaded those countries. I mean, right. you know, I remember when I went in the Navy, I had to go in there for reasons. I couldn't find a job. I had a child and another one coming, and my economic situation was blank. And I knew I needed a new skill, so I did join the Navy. You know what I mean? But let me tell you something. Upon boot camp, they told us, don't think that you're here for fighting for freedom and democracy. We're only here to keep the sea lanes open for open commerce. They told us straight up, Brother Oshie.
Yeah.
So, and the thing with that, and I'm going to say this because I know you got other callers on the line. The thing with that 9/11, that whole 9/11, you got to know the his story.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bay of Pigs, they
right.
wanted to take out a whole naval vessel. I believe it was the USS Liberty that eventually got hit to lead them into the Six-Day War. But they want, but Kennedy wouldn't sign off on it. And mm-hmm. you see what happened to him. His brains got blown out.
Right.
So all you got to do is understand exactly how this. He don't mind wasting some of the, you know, the goyim. He don't
no.
mind
no.
wasting some of the goyim.
No.
You know, and that's what you got to realize who the goyim is, what that means. He don't mind taking out goyim for mm-hmm. his dastardly deeds.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, brother, you know, it's so much that we're talking around because I heard you talk before about Trump. Then you talked about this guy Johnson in Britain. Then you got that idiot down there in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. With all that IBF and that, because remember, Brazil was doing good economically just a few years ago, and they were about to go to BRICS.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, they stick this puppet in there, and he's exactly like Trump. He's exactly like Johnson. It's all over money, man. Because
yeah.
India, Brazil, and a few others wanted to go to a currency called BRICS. But now you see that they're getting their marching orders from the
right.
same source,
sure.
and they're doing the same thing.
Right, the International,
so, you know,
right, the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. That's what. That's why they had to take Muammar Gaddafi out. Muammar Gaddafi was what I consider a benevolent dictator. He helped the people of Libya. He utilized the Libyan oil reserves and the returns and the money from the Libyan oil to benefit the people. You got all kinds of perks. Even
Venezuela
if you,
also.
Yeah.
Venezuela
oh, yeah.
Also.
Venezuela also.
That guy was,
oh,
he
yeah.
was delivering oil to the poor.
Cesar Chavez.
You know,
yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So
Hugo
you
Chavez.
You got to realize what's going on here, and this is all a game. Nothing we're looking at is real. And like I always tell people, look at this movie called They Live. This stuff has played out. as far as the aliens and all that stuff, you had to actually put on some sunglasses to see the real thing.
Yeah.
But I don't have to put no sunglasses on. I see them when they come on my tube. Exactly who they are. They're evil.
Yeah.
They're wicked, and they're not human.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm a go back on mute, brother Oshie.
Okay.
But you know, I just had to call in with my two cents.
Right on, all brother right, Ralph. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Peace, all right. 414-507, brother LaRue.
Hey, brother Oshie. We kind of looked like we kind of got off the point of the 9/11 thing and what that really was all about. And I want to reiterate that, hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay. That what happened with 9/11 was pretty much a repeat of the history of Europeans, what happened when they came to America and when they started to make Native Americans who helped them with things, how we celebrate Thanksgiving, how they made Native Americans the enemy so that they could do what they wanted to do and control the situation. So whatever Europeans do is for the benefit of Europeans.
Exactly.
That's
the bottom line. The Europeans,
you
see, what's interesting is that Europeans, because of their evolutionary development, they are selfish, greedy, misogynistic, sexist, racist, because of their evolutionary development. When they finally came up, the Greeks came into Kemet, to Egypt, to study at the feet of African people. In fact, when they came, many of those who studied, when they went back to Greece, they were exiled or murdered, like Socrates. They made him drink poison, made him drink hemlock. Plato saw what was happening. He cuts, he hides for about 20 years, went back to Kemet for more study, came back with all, that's why he's such a supposedly great philosophy. That's why philosophy is supposed to be Greek. Okay. So then, of course, years later, Alexander the so-called great, and of course, then now they have conquered Kemet. They are now the Ptolemies. They are now putting their face on some of the temples. But then they decline. Then the Romans come in. Then they decline. Then the Caucasians, the Europeans, go into a medieval or dark age when ain't nothing happening. But who comes? Us, the Moors, in the western part, in Spain and Portugal and so forth. And we teach them again. We teach them again for 700 years. After that, then Martel and Charlemagne, they feel themselves and they kick the Moors out of Spain. They also kick the Sephardic Jews out of Spain. 1492 is a serious year, not just for commission by Columbus to go search out a way to get the spices from India, which, of course, that didn't happen. He didn't know the hell he was. He got caught up in the currents of the Atlantic Ocean, which sweep you westerly. That's, you know, and that's where hurricanes start. Another subject. But anyway, so now they are a people who are in exploration, and they go out and they see the world and they want to take it. They don't come to your country, to your land, and bargain and trade and share. They come to your country to take and destroy and make you bow down to a system that they're going to impose, whether it's a religious system, economic system, or governmental system. You got to bow down, because if you don't bow down, you are going to die.
Because of their feeling of inferiority, it made them feel like they need to
control everything.
Control everything, yes. Right? Where the African perspective is, we trying to be in tune with nature and what's going on, and, you know, enjoy our life and be happy. But they couldn't be happy unless they dominate.
Right.
So that's two different perspectives. And if you look at African cultures, I mean, in some places it's hard to tell where people live, because Africans were so in tune with nature. Mm-hmm. But Europeans, a different perspective.
Yeah.
World domination.
Well, look what happened. So now look at what's happened. Because they were not in tune with nature. Look at what nature is doing. Look what they have done. They've destroyed nature.
Well,
LaRue.
They haven't destroyed it. They haven't destroyed it, but they have thrown it out of kilter.
Right.
And
okay.
So nature is fighting back.
Right.
And so now that, you know, the global warming and all that stuff, but because they're ego tripping. They think that they can dominate nature and control nature, but no. But what they're doing is using the laws of nature to benefit their self. That's what they think they're doing.
Right. Okay.
Right. But what they fail to understand is that nature is above them. But some kind of way, I don't know. But they suffering from. What do you call it? They're suffering from what's that psychological problem they have?
Cognitive dissonance. They suffer from three things. They suffer from three things that have an adverse and a deleterious effect on humanity. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. What that means is they believe that they're superior. They believe it so that it's in the core of their belief that even though there's a plethora of information that says otherwise, they stick to that belief. They'll ignore it. They'll dismiss it. Bam. I don't give a damn what you say or what you bring. Then they suffer from this Caucasian female, when all the stuff that was happening a number of years ago with Trayvon Martin and Black Lives Matter, she was doing workshops on what Caucasians have done. They didn't want to hear it. Because the Caucasians believe that they are good people. In fact, what they believe, because what they've been trained to believe, is that by imposing themselves on the world, it was good for the planet. So they suffer from fragility. They're fragile. Their egos are fragile. And so what you have is European Caucasian fragility. They're fragile. They don't want to hear it. And believe me, listen, they don't want to hear it from those who give it to them, but they sure in the hell don't want to hear it from us. They don't want to hear what they have done to us. Okay. Then the last thing, LaRue, is hegemony. European hegemony. What that is what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. That mentality, along with those other two, is the crux of the problem that the planet is faced today in terms of what Europeans have done. And because of the 9/11 situation, that further cements their ability to be the world policeman. They believe that they have a right to go into any country, destabilize it, kill its leadership, and establish whatever they want to get resources or whatever they want.
So we can understand that. We can understand that by understanding world history and European history and American history.
Right.
And the last points, man, I think they coined their mental illness as saying they have the God complex. They think that they can control God. And they got us thinking that they can control God.
Well, they put themselves in the image of God. They put themselves in the image of God. I'm going to get somebody else on this call. Okay, just hold on, LaRue. All right. 216, Brother Keith, you still there?
Oh, bro, I couldn't stop listening, and the contributions that your prior callers was making, oh, my gosh, they were hitting on so many notes, man. My thing is the cure for all of that, I believe that black people were designed through all the trials and tribulations to become the saviors of this world. And we can only do that if we get on the same page, if we acquire knowledge and are able to put that in some form of some context of understanding as to how, what our place is in the world. You know, what our place is.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. If we understand our own godhood, we understand that we are God, that each one of us individually, just like a cell, just like a gene from human body. We are the chromosomes. We are the genes and the cells of God. We have all the information that God has. We just have to learn how to access. And we can only do that if we show ourselves approved through study and knowledge and putting that stuff in the context. We need to know who we are before we can change the world into what it's supposed to be.
Well, see, what's unfortunate about that is, what's unfortunate about that is the fact that Europeans now dominate the world. They've been dominating the world for the last 400-500 years. And the image that they impose upon the world, that is God, is the image of themselves, you see. And they make you bow down to that. Hold on, let me finish. Let me finish.
Let me say this. No matter how powerful Europeans become, God dominates the world. Now, the Europeans got us thinking that they are God, if you want to put it like that. And the only begotten Son of God is Jesus Christ and all this. So they have put us in a psychological trick to think that they control the forces of nature. They control the forces of God. But nature is proving that they are not in control. And at one time, and that was only because of even white people, man, got manipulated into believing that, because there were certain white people that were greedy and wanted money and everything. At one point in time, all religious beliefs were related to nature, even Europeans, until the Romans came in, and then they started to manipulate even European thought to make them think that they were superior beings and could run the earth and all this. And so because of their ego complex, white people started to buy into that. But white people even got caught up in the same trick bag that we are being caught up in.
Well, understand. Well, you know, Go ahead, Keith.
The thing, brother, I'm absolutely 100% in agreement with you on you as far as we are not at the top of anything. We are not in control of anything. God has created a system. God has created a system that balances itself. And that's one of the reasons why we see so much devastation and destruction around the planet, because that's nature self-correcting. That's nature self-correcting, and we're part of that. We're not above it. I agree with you. That's God. That's God in action every day.
Well, let me say this about what's happening in terms of the planet, and if we can tie it into what is happening with from the 9/11 situation, is that the planet has been, and I would never forget, and I've mentioned this many times on this program because I've done at least three programs with the climate change or global warming, specifically dealing with that topic on this program. And I never forget, you know, 30-some years ago, the scientist said, listen, if you don't do something now, then 30, 40 years from now, these are the things that are going to happen to this planet. They were spot on. And even deeper today is the fact that the permafrost is melting, which is exposing viruses to be released that probably have no idea what they can do. There are insects that are going to be more vicious in terms of attacking and stinging and so forth. And I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to happen because of climate change. And now they're saying that if you don't do something in the next 10 years, this climate change can be permanent. So then when you see a hurricane, which usually blows through after a few hours, but stayed right on top of Grand Bahamas for 2 days. Can you imagine 2 days of what them brothers and sisters?
195 mile an hour wind.
Wow.
Hey, man, I saw this commercial on TV, and they were talking about after the devastation, how human nature kicked in to try to help these people. And in the commercial said, human nature is greater than nature itself. I'm like, human nature is greater than nature itself. I mean,
well, see, that's the mindset of European, because once again, he always wants to be in control. He always wants to dominate. The thing about the European in his quest after coming out of that medieval or dark age is that he wants to death. If he wants to do three things: death, domination, or destruction. If he can't dominate it, then he will destroy it, which ultimately be your death. Because the bottom line is he must be in control. And you see that globally.
I tell you what, you hit the nail on the head when you talked about cognitive dissonance being one of the
main problems. Exactly.
That afflicts. But the other element, and when you combine these two together, this is what you come up with. The other element is megalomania, which is the term I think the brother was looking for. And that's just simply being crazy about power,
mm-hmm.
power.
Right.
And that's what that's exactly what leads to that death, domination, and destruction.
Exactly.
It's one thing, you know, we subject to respond to information. And well, I take that back. Not respond to, react to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they keep changing. That's why they keep changing the narrative on everything. One week you got 45 doing this. The next week you got so and so doing that, and then you come back and it's all a different story. All these things are very important, but we have kind of ignored. Like, you don't even hear it come up anymore. The most important event that's occurring on the planet right now, that prophesies the destruction of humankind, of Earth itself as we know it as human beings. Ain't nobody talk about Fukushima no more. You think about that.
Right.
You have millions of tons of nuclear radioactive waste being dumped into the Pacific Ocean,
yep.
And they cannot stop it.
Exactly.
They cannot stop it.
Exactly. And already you see the deformity, you see radioactivity, I mean, two-headed fish and everything like that. I mean, it's going to be crazy. It is going to be crazy.
But you don't hear any dialogue on that.
You don't hear any narrative on that.
Because they keep changing the channel on us.
Mm-hmm.
They keep changing the channel on us. They don't want us to watch that channel.
No, it's just like the Outer Limits. We control your television. you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mary, 414-467, Mary. Are you still with us?
I think that what's happening is that we are being distracted from our initial goal of what we're trying to do. That's live, learn, and prosper. We want to, as black people, continue to live and propagate ourselves. And so what we're looking at is those things that oppose that idea. And so now I think what's happening is that we have become more focused on the things that are against us than the things that are for us. And I think that we kind of like need to balance that out and focus on the things that are for us, to who we are, our true nature and our human being. And one thing I think that really has worked against that is the belief that we believe that we are the descendants of slaves. And so if we are a slave, we are the descendants of slaves, then that would make the oppressor put on a higher level than we are. And so I think that's an idea we need to correct. But and in being in tune with God and all of that, anyway.
Yeah, okay.
That's what happens when any group has control of the images and the information that they can impose on other people. They're able to make those people adopt their way of thinking. In other words, and forgive me if this sounds too strong, because I'm not indicating every white person, but we've been around white folks way too long, and we think the way they think. We've been taught to think the way they think and perceive reality in the way they perceive reality, and it is not real.
And it's not for us. It does not benefit us.
We've been taught to seek power, and that's not who we are. I mean, seeking power simply means to dominate over all the things that you see. But we live on the planet Earth, and us arguing over the planet Earth is like two fleas on the back of a dog arguing about who owned the dog.
You like that one, LaRue? Okay.
I like that one.
Okay.
It's like two cows on the farm talking about, it's our farm.
It's our farm.
It's our farm. It's our farm.
Yeah, we sick, boss. We sick. Okay, go ahead, Keith.
No, that was it, man. Yeah. I'm just saying we have to seek that. I have a little page on Facebook called The Truth Is Out There.
Mm-hmm.
My whole point, since I've been about 29 or 30 years old, and Oshi, brother, my brother, you were a part of that expansion. You were a part of that, me seeking out the truth. And the truth of the matter is this, man. Our job is to seek truth, find truth, and to share truth. That's right. What we need to do.
Yeah.
We need to, in order to do that, these things, I had to dump everything that I had been taught in the educational system. Every message and every image that I had seen on television and heard as how we as black people are defined, I had to dump all of that because I had to empty the vessel in order to fill it up with truth. I had to empty out the lies before I could even begin to accept any kind of truth. So for me, it's an ongoing journey. It's not a destination. It's a journey. For me, my thing is if we seek out that truth, we'll find out who we are.
Well, you know here's a saying. Hold on, gentlemen.
And then we got to share that truth with the rest of us.
Right. You know, there's a saying, truth comes, but we can't hear it. How can we hear it when we've been programmed to fear it? Truth comes, but we can't hear it. How can we hear it when we've been programmed to fear it? And that's the situation that we have been in.
That's an example of cognitive dissonance right there.
Yeah.
And one key phrase, man, one key thing that we learn is they say the truth hurts. And as human beings, we try to avoid pain as much as we possibly can. The truth hurts. But it doesn't hurt. It heals.
Well, what they say in the gym, bro? what they say in the gym, no pain, no gain.
Right.
Exactly.
You know.
Hey, Oshie, I had to throw this in there, man, Brother Keith. Go on YouTube. I'll put my book up there, Why We Shouldn't Call Our Ancestors Slaves. And I think you would like that, man. I think we're in tune with this one. And because our ancestors are who we descended from. And if we believe that our ancestors were slaves, then we must see ourselves as descendants of slaves. And then we will tend to believe all those things about black people that are associated with being a slave, and especially the idea of inferiority. And so I just want to invite you to do that. YouTube, Why We Shouldn't Call Our Ancestors Slaves.
Let me say this.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
You know, let me say this, because I've been talking about this even before, and I know you for a long time, Brother LaRue, and I've been saying that, and you know I do that as part of my libation, you know, because, in fact, I'm going to do a program on this venue on words, because people always say, you know, words have meaning, you know, and somebody always said this, well, that's true. Then why do we continue to use the words that we do that conjures up the image of us in our debasement, in our degraded state? Why do we do that? Because we've been trained to do that. Europeans put that word on us. In fact, if you close your eyes and I say some words to you, you would tell me whose face would you put on those words, like welfare, drug addict, no fit mother, no fit father, gangster, slave. You see, because we've been trained in that way, you know, but we were not slave. We were captive. So when you change the wording, you change the imagery and you change the narrative. And it needs to be changed because we were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We never submitted. There's over 400 recorded revolts of our people resisting our captivity. So I'm going to give you a last word, Brother Keith and Brother, because we got to go. I got to make room for Brother Frank Franklin Jones and the Black People Matrix coming up at 1 p.m. Eastern to 3 right here on Time for an Awakening Meeting.
No. See, that's the European thought process. What I want to say is Kemet wasn't built in a day.
That's right. And that's right. Kemet wasn't built in a day. Go ahead, Keith.
What you just described is exactly what Carter G. Whitson was trying to tell us. That was exactly what he was trying to tell us.
Exactly.
We've been taught to believe so much in what they say we are that if they say go to the back door, not only will we go to the back door, but if there's not one there,
That's right. We will
cut money in for our benefit.
That's right.
That's exactly what you described.
That's right, because that's the mindset that they've been given. Mary, are you still with us? Mary? Okay, she made it tough. Well, anyway, brothers and sisters, I appreciate this. This is my annual 9/11. I think next year I will use the title 9/11. Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? because it is a true
realize.
Exactly, because it has been a true insult to your intelligence what these people have done. And there's just so much stuff that you can get on the internet. You got to sift through it. But the bottom line is, what does it look like to you in your right mind? Not what you have been dictated to, not what did you have constantly been exposed by the news media or even in history books or in academia. What does it look like to you? Because all those things, everything, as Dr. Francis Cress Welsing said, European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is in everything they do. So, brothers and sisters, I appreciate it. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, it's been a great day. I appreciate it for all those who have called and all who have listened. You have a blessed day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodio. Abibi Fahodio means our victorious destiny. Abibi Fahodio family, peace.
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 Yo, brothers, that was